Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, you guys. Hey, good morning. Good morning. It's beautiful out here in sunny California. I didn't say anything else was beautiful. I'm referring to the environment. That tells us that you have a mission to accomplish. If you're up and you're on this line and you're hoping for the best that life has to offer through this line, through this show, Global Vision for Living Today, hey, you are at the right place for the right moment and you're going to get the right information. But yay, thank you for joining us today. We have a topic that we touched on week before last. We had a little glitch last week. That's why we were actually not on. But look, here we go again, talking about not only everyday living topics, but topics that border around religion, any religion. But right now, our show topic today is, should you give a black pastor or any color pastor your tithes and offerings? You know, the church is in trouble. Remember that. You know that. You read about it. You hear about it. They're in trouble. And if they're in trouble, the ones leading them, they're in trouble. They need bodies. They need financial support. Should their pastors receive tithes and offerings and resources to keep them afloat? Or should we keep them in business, help them stay in business? You know, in the days of Jesus, one of them walked around with what some of us would call a money sack. Oh, yeah, they had money. But guess what? If you read anything that has to do with the Judaic, post-Judaic history, especially of the Israelites, it shows that they didn't use that money. They used it to give to the poor along the way. So if anyone thought that they was going to, you know, get boatloads of money because they were following Jesus, hey, they need to go back and study again. It wasn't asked for that, because if it was, research shows every one of them would have had a money sack. It wasn't about that. Only one was in charge of that. And it was not for the 11 plus one to feast off of. He said, you're going there, you're going to teach, you're going to preach, you're going to learn how to make disciples and do just that. You're going to get something to eat. Back then, they didn't have a car note. They didn't get something. They didn't have to pay no cell phone bills. Those walking with Christ did not need any of that. They needed a place to lay down at night, and they sure would be welcomed by the innkeeper. And, of course, a meal on departure. And I don't think any of them was big bloated, you know, with big tummies, because they were not given that kind of food for that purpose. So, hey, we're going to set it straight here. That's why you guys love this show, because we are people that present the facts. And if you don't know the Bible, we are really going to say, hey, we know something about it, and we're not going to water it down. We're not going to adulterate it. We're going to tell you the honest truth. And then when you hang up, then you consider meditating on that. But should you give a black pastor or any color pastor your tithes and offering? I see we have again our illustrious guest, Dr. Colonel, I love to call him Colonel William Harrison. And he's been on the show 149 episodes, I have seen. And I think he has been on except maybe 3-4 times in the past year and a half. Colonel Harrison, are you with us today?
Yes, good morning, Dr. Coppertino, listening audience. Happy to be with you all, and thank you so much, and look forward to the discussion this morning.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure you do, because you're also pastor of a local community church. I never knew what that was until I heard you speak of that, a local community church. I haven't broken that down, but I know it is said for a reason that that has to even be mentioned. But, you know, I'm going to, you know, take some time soon. I should have already done it and break it down. But look, we have a situation where there's a report, and I think I might have sent it to you this week, where they're saying even though the churches have been given the okay to open, there's none in them. And the ones that were given the okay to open have decided they're not going to do it. They're going to stay on Zoom and other media platforms. They say that they don't have enough to keep running back and forth. I don't know anything about that, because I don't know exactly who's in them and what they're actually doing within them. What they're saying, my dad used to say, the late, great Bishop James Howard Mims, He said, you don't have to worry about a church. You just have to worry about who's in them. And then if you worry about who's in them, then you need to look straight ahead. And that was the pulpit areas. That don't talk about the people in them. Talk about the pastor talking to them in them. I mean, Bishop thinks I remember very wise. But we know you are in the church community. You have been there for years. And as I said, people are disappointed with some of the churches and how they've been operating, and they've decided, well, I'm not going back. All I heard was rhetoric. I didn't get nothing out of it. All I was doing was giving my money. And, of course, people will ask, well, why are you doing that? If you're not getting anything out of it, why are you doing that? Well, my grandma's there. My mom is there. I grew up around the church. You know, some questions that hasn't, you know, they bear an answer. But the answers that some of them give is just absolutely astonishing. They have no real reason. And if you stand and say, well, can you spell Zedekiah? Can you tell us a little bit about Zechariah? Well, can you tell me the reason Daniel was thrown in the line there? I know you heard he was thrown in, but do you know the reason? I mean, just, you know, everyday questions for some of our church's membership, and it's astonishing. They can't answer that. But, well, you know, I've been there 5 years. I've been going there 10 years. Can't answer those questions at all. And Zechariah was very, very what I would call interesting when it comes to how he ruled the Israelites. And, of course, Zedekiah, you know, these last kings of it, no more. They can't tell you anything about their reign, when they were born, anything. Well, pastor said, pastor told me this. Absolutely ludicrous. You don't hear too much of that anymore either. But right now, people are sad and they're mad. They claim they're not going to give the pastors a dime, not going to give them anything. He's trying to say it's God's church, but I see him standing there. I don't see God standing there. I'm not going to give them anything. Pastor, have you heard those kind of comments in your reign into your ministry? Have you heard people say things like that?
Yes, because there's a misunderstanding of the purpose of the purpose why people are requested to give money to the church, and that is something that should be taught by the pastor. There should always be a finance committee in the church. The pastor should not be directly involved with the finance committee. There should be a chair, a person to oversee that, and it keeps the pastor separate and apart from any dispersion or allegations of that the money is going to the pastor. But briefly, if we may get into it, the tithe is really a concept that came during the Old Testament era of the Bible, the first 39 books. And the idea was most people were farmers back then that lived, the ancient Israelites, and God wanted them to give one-tenth of their land, one-tenth of their fruit, their crops, one-tenth of their animals back to God as an appreciation for him blessing them to be able to survive and live on the land. And so
okay,
it began
with that right now. Pastor Harrison, we are not there.
Yes.
That is not part of that question.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
I know you're a genius with the Bible and you like to go all the way back and all of that. Well, keep in mind those people are gone. God's word is still there. Keep in mind you have people that claim that, well, that was under the law. And I don't want you telling me nothing about no tithing offering because that was under the Mosaic law. And Christ said, I come to do away with that. So I think if we want to, you know, jump a few centuries, that might not be a bad idea because most people have not been taught give some of your crop, and that was set up back then. You are very right, but that's under the Mosaic law. Now let's move on up to right now. Right now is all we have. We have that. They're gone, the dead. Let's move on up to the now. I'm trying to keep everything in the now. Now, Jesus, when he came on earth, and we just mentioned about the money sack, and I'm trying to get an understanding here. For our newly born 20th, 20 first century millennials and Me Too and so on and so on. Okay, he, of course, when the question of the tithe, and I know you know this, and the offering and all of that came up, he wasn't going to get into that. Jesus didn't go back to talk about, well, your forefathers, this, and that. We're talking only right now about tithe and offering. Jesus didn't go into a big spiel or anything because the people he was talking to, the Israelitic Jews, they already knew that. And most people on earth right now have heard about a tithe and all that, tithe and offering. But he said something that's very interesting. He said, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and unto God's God. Why don't we come from that standpoint? What was he talking about when he said, render unto Caesar Caesar's and unto God God? What was he talking about? Let's kind of hitch this wagon to 2021. What was he talking about?
Jesus was speaking of the obligation that the citizens living during the Emperor Caesar time period of the first century, having an obligation to pay taxes to the government on behalf of the Roman government, because Roman government was in power then. Roman government had authority then. So whatever taxes that the people owed to the Roman government, they were to pay to Roman government, and then whatever tithes that they owed to the Lord when they went to the synagogue, the worship or house churches, they were to pay their respect, their dowry, their tithes to the Lord. So that in a direct, in a straightforward sense, that's what Jesus was making reference to. Honor both, honor the government, but also honor honor God.
Okay, I got a person on the line with the question saying, I don't know if this is true because I didn't come up in this type of religion where you do that. And spent 30 years with one group. They never did that because they said that was under law and all that. And here's someone that is saying Jesus never mentioned the word tithe. So I think, someone else saying you did Jesus pay any tithes? So, you know, well, let's answer that. Let's get on it because we're on this. He said that, and I just Googled it. It says here Jesus did not qualify as a person required to pay tithes. Jesus had been a carpenter, and many of his disciples had been fishermen. If none of his 12 were farmers or herdsmen, then none were required by the law to pay tithes, only free will offering. So the tithes, they did not practice that. So, so we're on this. Whoever you are, I don't see your name here. Fine, thank you. Jesus did not pay tithes. So when you made the statement that he said, pay unto Caesar, no, I brought that up, but when you mentioned about, they were supposed to give Caesar something and then turn around and give their tithes, I think we got a little situation here. Did you mean the offerings? Because it's saying here that Jesus did not command anyone to pay tithes. He was the extension and the end of that law. How can we talk about that in reference to giving any person tithes here today? You know, a lot of our black ministers would carry on and say, tithing offering. I never heard that at all. And my father, who was a minister for 53 years, and his father, who came into town in 1917 with 8 cents in his pocket on the back of a chicken coop, it never was a tithe thing there. He said, if people want to give God some, let them give them. And he lived to be 98. My father, Bishop Mims, never said I'm paying and said anything. Now, there was some in the church that said, I'm going to pay my tithe anyway. And he would just look at them and said, well, I guess, you know, you can tell them and you can show them and you can teach them, but they're still going to do it the Satan way. So, that was scary. And I know other organizations that I've been in, and I love to talk about them. I don't know why, but 30 years, never. They had a money box at the end of the door when you went out. If you gave, fine. If you didn't, and they said, do not put your name on an envelope. We don't want to know who you are and how much you gave. If you're going to give, just give unto the Lord. And they built their church. They didn't call them churches. They got together and built Kingdom Hall for free. They would, if some would just travel America, build a Kingdom Hall. I never heard of that. So coming from that vantage point, Are we saying that, as you mentioned earlier, Pastor, you said that, I guess, money given to Caesar was to build Rome, or it was something that the Roman government said, hey, you guys living here in Rome, too bad. You're captives here, but you're still going to pay taxes. So where does the tithe, or where did the tithe, which I'm not seeing it here and I'm Googling it, where did the tithe come in during that century? Was somebody teaching, clinging on to the law that was not there? When did this tithe thing take place during the Roman era, or did it?
No. I never said that carefully. Mm-hmm. I never said I answered your question. Run unto Caesar that which is Caesar, run unto God that which is God.
Yeah,
I never said
that
Jesus said a tithe. Yes, I said that Jesus
was
teaching.
No, you didn't, but I'm asking you. Yeah, I know you didn't say that, but I'm asking you. If Jesus, the Son of God, was on earth, and we're talking about a tithe, and we're making a claim on a statement, and he said, and render unto God, God, did he mean tithe, or did he say tithe? Did Jesus say that? I'm not seeing here what he did. Can you help us? You have almost 3,000 probably going to be on that call. Can you help us with that? Did Jesus tell them to pay a tithe?
No, he was not directly speaking in regards to a tithe. He was speaking in mm-hmm. parables, which is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And the Pharisees, who were the lead religious leaders during the first century, mm-hmm. was asking about the subscription that was on a Roman coin. And
mm-hmm.
Jesus answered, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar, render unto God that which is God. And so rendering unto Caesar, Jesus was referring to the obligation that Christians had
mm-hmm.
as well as non-Christians, Jews and Gentiles,
mm-hmm.
paid taxes if the Roman
mm-hmm.
government had imposed a tithe. That which belonged to God, whatever it may be, may have been the crop. It may have been land. It may have been the animals that the people were blessed with, which carried over again from Old Testament teaching to the New Testament. The idea was to teach the people to be responsible, whether they were Christians or not, particularly the Christians, to be responsible to take care of the obligations that they have to God,
mm-hmm.
the same as they take care of the obligation that they had to the Roman government, whatever that obligation was, whether it was
mm-hmm.
worshiping, whether it was
mm-hmm.
whether it was giving, whether it was helping the poor, whether it was helping the needy, whether it was an offering, that was his teaching.
Okay, I got a question here. Someone is saying here, why doesn't he answer the question? Oh, oops, that kind of hit me here. Let me ask the question again. Did Jesus Christ order, talk to, tell, beg anybody while he was on earth to tithe? Did he? That's the question. And we already know that Jesus did not. We already know that. But the people want to know to the question, did Jesus tell them during his way of walk to tithe? That's it, not about the crop. Did Jesus Christ tell his followers to tithe? Because we already know they weren't working in the Roman synagogues there. So did he or did he not? Did Jesus tell anybody back then to tithe? Because we have some more questions to come up with that, because this is very interesting. I don't think we're going to get out of this in one half of an hour. I think we're going to have to carry on the series on tithing, because this is opening up my eye. I know I never heard of it, and I know how old I am. Did Jesus order the people there to tithe? Because you know what I'm thinking? If he did, where was they going to take that tithe to? I think that's why we got some scholars now that said that that question was not answered. So did Colonel Harrison, did Jesus order his people to tithe?
No, he did not order this. He taught on love. He taught on charity. He taught on giving. He taught on helping the poor. He taught on praying and leading people unto God through a living example and through ministering to them. He never taught on tithe.
But the answer is, thank you, the answer is, because you know, I'm pretending like we're according in law. Just answer the question, did he, yes or no, like that. Oh, this is fun. I think we're going to need more time. Now, okay, let's step over that camel's hump.
If he did not, the scriptures prove that he didn't, and you just said that he didn't. I always knew that he didn't. If he did not ask them about tithing, there was a golden rule that on one occasion, and I'm looking at this here, when he said, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you tithe men and deal and have neglected the weightier provisions of the law, justice and mercy. Okay, so I'm reading it here. He said, you blind guides. He's calling it whitewashed grace. So right here I can see it for myself. And this scripture is in Luke, Matthew and Luke. Okay, so since he did not, can we say that the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you? Could we say in a little bit of a glimmer that since they were not ordered, begged, and told to tithe, that that might have been something, and it says here that they have neglected the weightier provision. Could we say that treating your neighbor right, and I'm just saying it, is a so-called tithe, making sure that you take care of your family? Could that be what he meant? I don't know, but I'm reading here where he has got on them. He called them hypocrites for tithing. He's saying, no, he said, that's not the way. He said, justice and mercy and faithfulness. But these are the things you should have done without neglecting the other. Yeah, you walking around with all them robes on, talking about bringing in your money and all that, but what else is on the book? We already know from history that who are Christians, or even scholars, that those people in those long robes didn't go out. The poor, handicapped, and all of them couldn't even go in the temple. They could stand in a line, like the widow's mite woman case. You know, you stand in a line and give some money, but oh, those big temple synagogues with encrusted jewels, they weren't allowed in there, and they didn't want their chicken feed. They didn't want $1 or $2, and they weren't going to stand out there begging for anything. Especially, now, it probably was some of them that carried this thing on, because if we're talking about tithing off in the day, these modern-day preachers got that from somewhere. Somebody told them it's all right to go in there and say, give me your tithe and offering. But for all intent and purposes of this discourse, should you give anybody your tithe and offering? Well, you know, if I read this and I'm on here, I don't know what site that I got on here about tithe and offering. Okay, your funding coach, Jesus and Tithing, August 1st, 2018. If any of you out there want to know more about this, because as you know, Colonel Harrison and I own on here for 13 minutes. Scott Morton, your funding coach, and the article here is Jesus and Tithing, August 1st, 2018. Well, we've already told you how Jesus felt about the tithing offering. We already know there was 12 walking on 2 feet. And only one had a money sack. And I know that money sack was not very heavy, because they could not be walking from Capernaum all around that Judea community, Roman community, with a big old sack hanging off his shoulder weighing him down, because they didn't have dollar bills. They had coins. So I'm pretty sure that money sack was nothing heavy. It was probably just enough to have something in a sack on hand to give out, not for them to sit up and eat off of. Because remember, he said, don't take nothing with you. He said, I'm going to send you out of here. Stop, don't even try to beg me and talk about nothing these Romans is doing. They had Romans, the Egyptians, they had Babylonians, they had all kind of people messed around in Rome under Roman dominion. He said, don't be like none of them. Don't take nothing with you. So that gives us a glimpse and a glimmer into how Jesus felt about money. You know, as far as people coming up, giving them tithes, or he never mentioned that, because he was the end of that. So right now, we have some grumblers here in 2021. Some are saying, if I go back to church, I ain't giving this so-and-so. That's what they call the pastor, so-and-so nothing. I read it, I hear it all week long about this tithing. I haven't got something on the platform for peace, which Colonel Harrison heads that up. I don't see anything on there about tithes and offering. No, you pay a flat fee to become a member, and we're not going to sell you a dish of faulty doctrine just because we have a tongue. You are not getting that out of anyone. And we have some powerhouses that are involved in the platform now. You aren't going to get that kind of faulty doctrine. But again, Scott Morton, Jesus and Tithing, that's a pretty good article. It says he's had over 15 million viewers. So I think I'm going to read a little bit more about that. But Pastor Harrison, are you a minister? And I'm calling you pastor now. Do you advocate a free will offering, or do you have a box at the back of your church? Do you teach that your people who are members there and non-members, are they under some the ancient tithing law? Do you teach that there at your ministry?
I teach it based on Old Testament principles, because that's one of the principles that God has had defined for his people that he expected them to do. And so from the Old Testament perspective, I teach that principle. Okay, I don't teach no New Testament principle.
Are you referring to the Old Testament law? Is that what you're talking about when you say Old Testament? Are you referring to the Old Testament law that was given under Moses? Is that it? Is that the one you're talking about?
Apart from the Old Testament law. The first mention of it is in the book of Genesis with Abraham. Second mention is in the book of Leviticus, wherein God expected people to show appreciation for what he had blessed them with. And so that Old Testament principle, Old Testament emphasized, that I still teach. But I don't teach no New Testament principle about tithing, because we teach charity in the New Testament. More blessed to give than it is to receive. So those principles from the New Testament come out of letters from the Apostle Paul and the Gospel of Luke and so forth, teaching people to be charitable.
Mm-hmm. Charitable, okay.
Yes.
We have someone here, and I'm looking at the dashboard, and he's trying to – I'm reading what he's saying, but I'm not going to read it all. I'm going to paraphrase it. This person – excuse me, and he goes by – Pastor Emeritus or something. Okay, he's saying that the Old Testament law of tithing was for a protection of the people there and to set them apart from the heathens that were not giving back. And he's saying that it was also for them to help with the building of the temple, building of the tabernacle, building of places of worship for those that were coming through the deserts, and they were promised Canaan land. And he's saying once they got into Canaan land, or Cana, I drove all the people out, you know, Caleb, the spies, we weren't going all that. But he's saying, and I hope I'm paraphrasing right because I'll hear about it, that tithe was set up right then and there for that purpose. They had to rebuild. They were 400 years out of slavery, and now here they are in lands. They needed homes. They needed calves. They needed boundaries, because he said that, and I hope I'm saying it right, that they had to rebuild their entire family life. So that's why the tithe came into being. But listen, we have 90 seconds here. Oh, my God, this is so interesting. Thank you so much, Colonel Harrison, for helping us out. All you listeners, okay, I'm glad to hear some of you are Bible scholars, but you know we don't pull no punches here. We open the gate up, and right now we haven't really answered that question, should you give a black pastor any of them talk? We have hinted around on it, but they need to go back and read the Bible again, because they and their flock, or whoever they call their congregants, participants, they are no longer under the Mosaic law at all. And Jesus, when that in the temple, when he was crucified, everything that in there, they had this, what do you call it? Like a curtain, it's split in two, meaning there's no more separation from anybody trying to be big shots and lord it over the little man. I've already walked with them, and I've already given them their marching orders. He didn't say, go there and ask a tithe. He said, go ye therefore preaching and teaching. That's all I got to say on that. I know Jesus meant that to be first and foremost. He just said, yeah, go ye therefore, get the tithe, get the offering, get this and that. Hey, come back next week. should anyone give any of these pastors a tithe? They might give them an offering, but I don't think so. Hallelujah. Praise God. See you next Saturday. Okay, love you.